Let's give the Lord a hand. Can we do that? Just thank Him for everything. Amen. It's been a great joy to just at least spend the last 2 days with some of you. And I wish I just had a lot more time to be able to meet every single one of you and hear your stories. I love stories. I love to hear what God is doing in all of our lives, and it's different. And so sometimes I miss that opportunity because just it's so busy. We're going from one session to another. But I'm hoping that we can continue to pray for you guys as well. And I am thankful for the family of churches in HMCC. We really are a family. And I love it when people visit Hong Kong. They're like, I'm from HMCC or whatever. And I don't even know who they are, but I just want to give them a hug and say, you survived. No, I'm kidding. I'm just like, this is awesome. And, you know, all the pastors are a little bit different. Styles of certain things are a little bit different. But when you go to a HMCC church, you know that it's a HMCC church. You know what I'm talking about? Amen? You just kind of feel that there's some kind of something there that it's similar all across the board. So I'm just really thankful for all that God is doing, especially here in Indonesia. And I'm going to believe that there's going to be greater things to come. And I'm excited to follow along and just kind of watch and participate whenever I can to be a blessing to you. So thank you for letting me be a part of this. And I'm praying that it's a stake that we drive into the ground and a marker so that maybe after a couple of years when things are hard or you're struggling, you could always look back and say, I remember he dropped that conviction in my heart at that retreat and I obeyed or I listened. And hopefully that will help you to continue on in this journey. As I mentioned when we first got started, that I wanted to kind of bookend this retreat time with Isaiah chapter 6, looking at verses 1 and 4. And then I want to close out now with Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. And I'm not going to spend too much time because, you know, as I was talking to Pastor Andrew, I really want just for me to step down. And because I could talk forever, trust me. People in our church know that. I could talk forever. I want to step down and just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And we want to be able to pray together, pray with our families, pray just with different people around us. And that's what's going to really encourage us. And so as we turn to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, if you remember the last three sessions, we were talking about this idea of how to be bold in our faith in such a way that we can grow in Christ to spiritual maturity. That's why we talked about bold worship. We need that to be centered in Christ and that it's all about Him, not about us. Magnify Him, glorifying Him. And we talked about bold faith because once you experience God, you're going to have this assurance and this conviction that even though you don't see with your eyes, whatever you're going through, that God is good and that He is powerful. He can work in your life and that He's ultimately in control and He's sovereign. To be able to live like that, walk like that with Christ, transform your life. And then this morning we talked about the bold purpose. It's not about the what, but it's about the why in the what that will enable you to live life every single day, no matter how mundane it may be or how much you might not like it. But I'm telling you, if you understand the why, it will change the what. And if we can see that as our calling to make disciples, either as a parent, a spouse, or just make disciples as a roommate or maybe a coworker, you will see things happen for the glory of God. I want to close out and talk about bold obedience and following Christ for the long haul. I want to start by giving a question for us to ponder upon, and I'm gonna say this: it's one of those questions where we're dreaming a little bit, but then reality will set in after I ask this question. And the question is simply this: if you had an opportunity to travel around the world to 15 countries in 6 months, would you do it? Hold on, it's a rhetorical question. Okay, hold on for a second. Let me say it again, that if you had the opportunity, and let's eliminate money and different things like that, but if you had the opportunity to travel to 15 countries in 6 months, would you do it? And I would say for some of you who are students, some of us who are really diligent students, how about school? Yeah, how about school? And all the 99.99 other percent of the school students who go to school will be like, forget school. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Come on. I work with college students. I know how your mind works. Those of you who are single adults, you will say, wait a minute, I have to pay my rent and you know, I have to work. I don't want to get fired and all this stuff. But there is another 99.999% of you is like, here I am, Lord, send me because I hate my job. You know, that's kind of like how we think. And then to those of us who are married, just close your eyes and pretend there's a life that's not your life right now. Because it will never happen, right? To think that literally you could travel around for 6 months and just let everything go. Kids, you eat by yourself. Find some food. Seems almost impossible. And those parents are probably want to kill me right now. They're like, why are you bringing this up? Did you know there was a young man who actually had an opportunity to do that? Traveled 15 countries in 6 months, and he just decided to take a step of faith. Because he was kind of at a crossroad in his life, and he didn't even graduate from college. He was in his last semester, I believe. It was in that last year. And this opportunity just came up, and he said, I'm going to do it. And he chronicled these 6 months in visiting all these 15 countries. And one of the things that he learned was just how big God was. And not only that, but God was working in ways that he did not even expect. It was oftentimes in the small little things. It wasn't the big hurrah. It wasn't all those incredible things, but it was in the little things, the simple things, that he realized how awesome and great God was. So I want to show you this video, which he made after 6 months or so of this traveling. He made a video of all the different things that he was able to do, and it was a quick montage of all these things. But as you're watching this, I want you to be able to see some of the lessons he learned. So listen carefully to some of the things that he's mentioning. So can we go ahead and watch this? Amen. Honestly, I don't think many of us will be able to do what this guy did. But I think the challenge that you heard at the end is, regardless whether you go afar or you are right here where you are you willing to answer the call? I think there's something frightening but yet exciting when you are actually living by faith and living, trusting that God is leading you on this adventure of life. I think too often we get so caught up with the things that we have to do that we don't have time to pause. And I know this, especially in Hong Kong, life is so fast that you have to force yourself to slow down, take those moments, even if it's a train ride, just to be able to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Bible is very clear that God has come to give fullness of life, life to the full, and abundantly. And out of that abundance, as we experience God, what he's wanting us to do then is to be able to help other people to experience the fullness of life. But in order for this to happen, we have to be available. We have to be open to whatever it is that God wants us to do. I think for a lot of us, we think to ourselves that, well, unless I got to get everything put together, I got to have everything in order first. And I'm telling you right now, there will be times in your life where you will have nothing in order. All you will have is a conviction from the Holy Spirit with some counsel from whether it's pastors or leaders or different people who are your accountability partners. And it's just a spirit of God, a conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit that will propel you to move forward in the things that God is placing in your heart. He's never waiting for you to be fully put together. But I will say this. He is waiting for you to be available and open. I like what Nancy Lee DeMoss said one time. She said this. Don't assume you have to be extraordinary to be used by God. You don't have to have exceptional gifts, talents, abilities, or connections. God specializes in using ordinary people whose limitations and weaknesses make them ideal people showcases for his greatness and glory. Isn't that true? Because once again, it's not about you. But the more you're able to trust him and obey him and follow him, then what happens is that you become a showcase to see how awesome and great God is, that in spite of your weaknesses, in spite of your shortcomings, in spite of your lack and whatever you think you're lacking in, that God will be honored and glorified. So let me give us the one thing here quickly. It is simply that we must give our all to obey God's call. That we must give our all to obey God's call. Two specific things as we close out in this section of Isaiah chapter 6. The first thing that I want us to see as we already cover the first four verses is that we have to be aware of God's call. In order for us to give everything that we have to this call, we have to be aware, what is it that God is calling us to? And let's go ahead and read, starting from verse 5 through 7 of Isaiah chapter 6. Listen to what it says. And in the ESV, here's Isaiah. "And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he has taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Now it's important, as we first session yesterday, we talked about how Isaiah saw this vision of God. Once again, unless you are connected with God and you're seeing who he is for just in all of his splendor, a lot of times we're not going to experience this transformation in our lives. But he saw this vision of God in the temple, and it literally transformed him. That's why what we have just read in verse 5 through 7, we notice that this vision has such a profound impact that Isaiah saw his own sinfulness as well as the sinfulness of his people. If you remember the context, things were going well, but their hearts were so far away. They were worshiping other idols. They were decaying spiritually. And so Isaiah, after seeing the vision of God, he saw his own sinfulness as well as the sinfulness of the people. He says, woe is me, I am what? Lost. That's very interesting. It's almost as if you don't know what you're doing. And can I just say this? Every single time you feel confused, or if you feel as if you just don't have a clear answer, it's not always a bad thing. Even when you have doubts, it's not always a bad thing. Because oftentimes God would use those moments of lostness. God will use those moments of confusion, or even just being trying to discern what it is. He will use those moments to speak to you. That's why it's important. Especially some of you in this kind of situation right now, you don't know whether to take a left or a right, you don't know whether to go straight, and you feel very frustrated. It is a great opportunity to listen to God and let him speak to you. In fact, the New Living Translation says this: it's all over, I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. The sense of like, it's completely gone. I mean, it's game over. The NIV says, woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. Literally thinking as if everything is completely in shambles. But God cleansed him by taking a coal from the altar and purified him. It was almost as if everything that happened so far was just preparation for Isaiah to be aware and then to respond to God's call. So this vision, seeing the train of his robe just filling the temple, being seated high, exalted. And then the seraphim coming and taking coal from the altar and searing his mouth so that his sins can be cleansed. It was as if God was methodically and surgically doing this in his life so that he will be ready as he is aware of the call and responds to the call. I think this is what the gospel is all about. Unless you see your own sinfulness and your own lostness and your sense of ruin, you will never be able to receive everything that God has for you. And being in Asia for X number of years, all I can say is that it is a culture that tells you it's all about works. What you can do. Try harder. It started when they were 2 years old and they were doing kumite. And drilled, like, you got to do this over and over again. And then if you don't get the A plus, but you got an A minus, but you didn't get the A plus. I mean, literally, it's like you could do better. And so we get a bunch of people in our church who are very driven. They're very high caliber. Some of them, I was talking to this one person, and I found out as I was talking to him, and he was trying to be humble about it, but he was from China, and I found out from his area, he was literally the top person out of, I forgot the exact number, but we're talking close to about 800 some thousand people, students. And even that in the province, 800,000 is like nothing. We're talking about millions of people, right? China, 1.3 some billion people. So like these guys are competing against all these other people, and they are so driven to get into that university or to get that scholarship. And so they carry that over into Christianity, and they think, if I just try harder, then I'm going to be able to grow. I'm going to try to do all these things. And you realize that is so against the gospel, because the Bible tells us no matter how hard you try in your own human effort, you will fail again and again. For we have fallen, all of us, fallen short of the glory of God. That's why those of us who grew up in Asia most of our lives, or we lean towards that way, I think it's not just Asia, it's human nature. Until we can come to the point that it's not about me, it's not about works, it's not about how hard I try, even though working hard is good. But when it comes to this understanding of the gospel, it's simply saying that really, there's nothing I can do. And Jesus Christ, in his mercy and his grace, and his tremendous, unending, persistent love, reached out to me, showed himself to me, revealed himself, whether in life group, in the scripture you were reading, or at a retreat like this, whatever it might be, that he actually gave you a vision. He showed you who he was when he died on the cross for your sins and my sins. And out of that, as you see this, you see your own self, you realize how stupid you have been, how rebellious you have been, how self-centered you have been. It's been all about you for all these years. That's why you're struggling with the things that you're struggling with. And then it humbles you and you realize not only do you want to run away, but you're drawn by this holiness. And you realize, God, I confess my sins. I turn away from the things that I've lived for. And then you receive that mercy and grace. It is this gospel-driven perspective of who Jesus is and what he has done that changes the heart. It will melt you, break you, humble you, bring you to tears when you realize that God so holy can love a person who's so sinful. And I pray that none of us will lose that kind of heart, because only Jesus can purify us. Look at verse 8. As we close with this, and I'm going to kind of build off the next point off this as well, but I want to make sure that we understand this thing about being aware of God's call. In verse 8, listen to what it says. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. I know many of you have heard this passage, you've read it, you memorized it. Put it in the context of everything that we've been talking about. And I want you to look at verse 8, because we see God asking two specific questions. Now, it's important to note, and this is something I share all the time, it's important to note that God doesn't ask a question because he doesn't know. Are you with me? If you don't believe me, every single time you see God asking a question, Jesus asking a question, God is not up there and go, man, I don't know. Let me ask Seth. Seth. It's never like that. Even with the disciples in the gospel, you realize when Jesus was asking a question, he already knew the answer. So whenever God is literally speaking to you and he's asking you a question, it's not because he doesn't know. It is his way of making us think and be self-examining of our lives so that we can then see what it is that we need to do or who we are. when he says, why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid? I mean, he didn't have to take a psych class. He knows. It's oftentimes for the person where the question is asked. It's for that person. There are two things to be aware of in regards to God's call. The first is the need of a response. The need of a response. If you think about it, God could have sent one of the seraphs or seraphim, all of them, just sent them. These angelic beings, they remember they had six wings, they still had two that was flapping. He could have been like, tuk, 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 and they would have been like, and then it would go. He could have done that. But God was looking for a person who was willing to go freely, obediently. So I hope you understand when God was asking this question to Isaiah in the midst of this vision, it's because there needed to be a response. The second thing I want you to notice is the need of a representative. The person who will go for God will be like an ambassador who will represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you get this idea even in the New Testament. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, in the NIV, listen to what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation has come. This is the gospel. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the gospel, again, in that verse. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sin against them, and he was committed to us. He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Another part of the gospel. And verse 20. We are therefore Christ. Everyone say it. Come on. Ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The reason why God was asking the question to Isaiah was because there needed to be a response and there needed to be a representative who will represent God to the people. It's not like God couldn't do it by sending a tree that was flying, I don't know, whatever you want to think about in your wild imagination. God could have done anything, but he decided to look upon a man, a person. And he says, whom should we send? Who will go for us? And I'm challenging us with this. It's because that's the question God is asking us. And sometimes who shall go for us is not necessarily location specific. Because who shall go for us might be in your family, in your school, in your neighborhood. It could be at your workplace. It could be anywhere that you normally frequent or visit. Some of you, who should go for us to Max Coffee? Here I am, Lord, send me. I need some coffee, you know? So I want you to understand, God is not necessarily calling you to travel thousands of kilometers away. But where do you normally go? Where do you normally frequent? As we talked about, as you're going, make disciples. So he's asking, I need a response, and I need a representative. And because we've been saved by grace, and this gospel has touched our lives, what we're saying is, God, you have committed to us this message of reconciliation. It's the good news. We've been reconciled with God. Now we could be reconciled with one another, and we want other people to be reconciled with God and reconciled with others. This is why it's important that we have to be aware of God's call. Do you hear him calling? What are some things that he's been speaking to you about at this retreat thus far? What are some things that he kind of laid in your heart? Because he wants a response. And he's looking for people who will be his representative, his ambassadors. The second and last point is this. We must not only be aware of God's call, but we have to be available to God's call. With the two specific questions that God was asking, whom shall I send, who will go for us, Isaiah now answers God. What does he say? here am I, send me, or here I am, send me. I'm going to tell you what I did. I was trying to do kind of like this exegetical study on this. I was looking at different translations. I literally looked at five different translations, trying to get some ideas. And you know what I discovered? It's all the same. Here I am. Here am I. Send me, send me, send me, send me. And I'm like, if you try to parse this here, what does that mean? I'm telling you right now, you're going to miss the point. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was doing research on this, and I was just trying to study it, and I just realized, you guys know that phrase, KISS, right? K-I-S-S. They use this a lot in the business world, K-I-S-S. It means keep it simple, stupid. And I'm realizing God is very simple in many ways. I mean, he's complicated. He's God. But also in many ways, he knows us. And we like to complicate things. And so here I am trying to complicate it. Here am I. Here I am. What is this, Lord? And he's like, boink. He gave me a kiss. And he said, keep it simple, Seth. Here am I, send me. These five words, just in these five words, here I am, send me. It shows Isaiah's willingness and his response to God's call. One thing we have to note is that Isaiah didn't know all that was going to be entailed in being God's representative. I hope you know that. But he decided to be available to God's call. There was a sense of resolution, a resolve. And can we just be honest as we hopefully we've always been honest throughout this retreat, but let's keep it real. Like, we're like, add a couple more words or even a phrase to that five words. Here I am. Send me. But please tell me exactly what I'm going to be doing and let me know if I'm going to make enough money and if I'm going to get married or not, Lord. You know, we add these phrases to these five simple words. And I realize that is the human nature. We always want to know. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but I hope you understand that there are some things we will never know. Amen? Until you go to heaven. There are some things, as I shared last night, if you knew, you will run away. You will curse God and die. That's why I said, if you knew what you were going to be doing 5 years ago, what you're doing right now, some of you are like, my Lord. God knows that. This is the reason why he doesn't tell us everything. He just gives us a little glimpse at a time. And what he's doing is he's shaping us, putting through a trial. He's testing us. He's chipping away other things. He's kind of prying open one hand because we're holding onto this thing so tightly because he wants to put something in our hands so that it will be literally a tool to use for the glory of God, to bless people, to love people, to bring the good news to all the nations. But we're holding it so tightly that literally in 1 year, he's just pulling out one pinky. And then next year, it might be another pinky until you have to let go. And then you fully surrender and say, God, here I am, send me. So if God told you everything, all the details, I'm telling you right now, something that I've learned over the years is that we will not do it. If God told me some of the stuff that I'm doing now, I would have been like, my goodness. Because not to say that it's not great, but it's hard. And he knows me so well that he will only tell me a little bit. And let me give you an example that I use all the time when people always talk about God's will. What should I do, Pastor? I say it's something simple as this. You are literally in the street somewhere in Indonesia, Karawaci or in Jakarta, and here you are. And all of a sudden, this car comes almost 100 or 120 kilometers per hour. It's like, phew. And I were to ask you, what was that? You're not going to be like, oh, it was a grandpa on his bicycle. No, of course not. It was a car. But if I were to then ask you, what kind of car was it? I don't know. It just moved too quick. You will have no idea. All you know is a car, maybe, possibly the color. But what happens is, as that car passes you that quickly, all you know is a car and it's a color. That's all you know. But that thing circles around. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of like the go grab. They're always trying to grab somebody. Hello. And literally spins around and comes back again. This time it comes 80 kilometers per hour. And it circles around if you don't catch it, and then it comes 40 kilometers per hour. And you were like, oh, it's a Kijang. Which, by the way, if you guess that in the beginning, you'll probably be like 60% right. And it will circle around, and then it will go almost 10 kilometers per hour and say, what's this license plate? And you'll be able to read it. That's life. Sometimes all you see is a car that's blazing right before you. You just know the color. That's all you know, and it's a car. But as you're trying to be faithful to that, living your life in Christ, and loving people around you, building up the church, being a faithful witness in your school, in your workplace, in your families, that car will spin around again, because God, He will always work out all things for the good. Can I get an amen to that? God is always working. He never sleeps nor slumbers. We do. We snap. We literally kind of go, yeah, all the time. We're napping here and there. But God is constantly working. And as He keeps on circling around us, He's going to slow that car down. And we're going to realize, oh, it's a black car. And it's this model and this make and this license plate. And then you will realize, my God, Lord, You have been faithful all these years leading me. And at the right moment, You ask me, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And you respond by saying, here I am, send me. I think about the church that we started in Ann Arbor, and all I can say is we had no clue what we were doing. I was sharing that with some people recently, and I if I think about it, play it back, I realize how crazy it was. Because we literally left all our family, because both of our family was from Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Chicago. And so we left them there, all our family, everyone we knew, all our friends were there. We left all that and we went to a whole new place. We had no idea what we were doing. We didn't have a church planning, kind of like a cohort. We didn't have any training. All we had was the Bible and Jesus and one another. And we went there and we planted the church. To this day, I still don't know how we did it. Because knowing God, who knows me, if He gave me all the stuff, I'll be strategizing. What's the four S's? You know, I'll be looking through all the stuff. And God says, I'm going to kiss you. Keep it simple, Seth. So He just kicks me out there, and we go and we plant a church. I'm going to tell you right now, we made so many mistakes. We had no clue what in the world we were doing. But God led us. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, that was truly by God's grace. Even God bringing us to Indonesia for 1 year, do you know that this was the beginning of even God working on my heart and my wife's heart to go to Hong Kong? But I had no clue. Because we knew we were only going to be 1 year, 1 year here in Indonesia. So we were trying to prepare for Pastor Andrew and Nikki to come take over the church. And so even the furniture we're buying, we're thinking about them. And by the way, I went to their house and they still have the same TV that we had when we first got here. Praise the Lord. You guys got to bless this brother. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, and I won't even say it, but even the password is this. I'm like, Lord, help this brother. I mean, come on. But anyway, and we were trying to prepare for Pastor Andrew to come. And I remember it was sometime in April when my wife and I, we were just talking, and we just grew a tremendous love for the Indonesian people. Trust me, it wasn't the traffic and all that kind of stuff. We're like, God, and the heat and all that stuff, but it was the people. And my wife and I, we were just looking at each other, and we're like, maybe we should just tell Andrew and Nikki just to stay back, and we'll stay here another year. And then we're like, no, we can't do that. They're moving, and they're doing all the stuff, and getting ready, like, yeah. And so you know what we did? We lifted up a prayer together that morning in our room. And the prayer was something simple like this. Lord, Once our kids are all off to college, give us the privilege and the honor to be able to travel around to different places that we're planting churches and the churches we will plant in the future to encourage the pastor and his family and the different leaders and minister to them, because we just felt that that was the call that God put in our hearts. We lifted up that prayer. That was a seed that God was using that 5 years later, God put it in our hearts to come to Hong Kong. See, that's God. He knows what he's doing if you would just trust in him and obey his call and respond as you're aware of his call and you're just saying, I'm available, whatever you want to do. We have to remember that God sometimes asks us to provide us opportunities to volunteer. I think this is what God is pleased by. Something that I also teach is something called forever. Not the eternity forever, but number four, evers. And if you could really ask yourself these questions and just say yes to every single one, I'm telling you, you will be available. What are the four evers? It's whatever, wherever, and whenever, and whichever. God, whatever you want me to do, it doesn't matter, because I know the why. It's because of the gospel, because you love me and because you have saved me. So the whatever doesn't matter. God, whatever. And whenever. I'm not on my own timetable. If that means I have to wait 10 years, I will wait for you, because your 10 years is almost like a day to me, because this is how you work. If it is next week, God, I don't have everything put together, but if that's you, then yes, here I am, send me. Wherever, because some of us, let me just speak for myself, me, wherever matters a lot. Recently, I was up in China, and in this one city, we were visiting the mountain village areas. And as we were going up, I was just thinking to myself, Lord, I know I'm not called here. And then deep inside, this fear came over me. What if he calls me here? And I'm like, Jesus, I love you, but I don't know how much I love you, because if you do send me here, I'm going to be a little bit bothered. Hong Kong has really high-speed internet. Coming back to Indonesia, it woke me up a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I just found out you guys have 4G now. Hello, welcome to the world. In Hong Kong, they're going on 5G now. And so I was thinking, like, wherever, it's not as easy as we think. Because there are certain comforts, certain things that we like. But what if he calls you to a rural village somewhere in Indonesia, in an island, that they don't have anything? Can you say, God, here I am, send me, whatever, wherever, whenever, and whichever, however you want to do it, whichever method, whichever way, God, here I am. This goes all the way back to verse 1 through 7, doesn't it? The only proper response and appropriate response is to be, of being forgiven, is to give our lives to serving God. God will never force us, never. Because he's a God of love. And when you love somebody, you don't force them. But he will give us opportunities to willingly give ourselves to him and his service. You can miss it, but he's so gracious and so loving, he will send that car around one more time and another time. He's been speaking to some of you for years. And maybe this is the moment, as you wrestle with God, listen to him. He's saying, this is it. Who will go for us? Whom shall we send? The two questions that need a response and a representative. And then you are available to the call by simply saying, here I am. Send me. Whatever, whenever, wherever, whichever. That's why the one thing is simply, we must give our all to obey God's call. Can you just give us some quick steps as you think about this compelling voice of God? You've got to respond. First of all, it's very simple because this is once again rooted in what God is already doing in your life. Recommit to HMCC's vision and mission. And I know some of you are like, well, why do I have to do that? Because right now, all I can say is some of you don't have a clear vision. You don't have a clear mission. So I've always been telling people, if you don't have anything, at least get on board with something that's moving. And then in the process, God will say, this is your stop. Get off here, because now I want you to go in this direction. But at least be moving. That's why the vision for our church and all our churches is to what? To multiply churches and campuses and in cities to transform the next generation among the nations. That's what we're trying to do. That's why we're going to these different campuses, universities. That's why we're going into these different cities. And that's one of the reasons why God called us to Hong Kong, because not only these great universities, but it's right here, which is the capital of so many things that happen, along with Shanghai and some of these other cities that are emerging in China, that this is where everything comes out of, the financial district. We're talking about fashion to culinary arts. All this stuff comes out of these kind of cities where people are gathering together. Forgive me, I hope this is not too insensitive, but I'm just trying to help you to see the reality of this. Especially when you think about even terrorists. Where do they come and they try to bomb to scare people? It's not in this remote island with the village people. Boom, they're like, ha, 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 we scared you. No, they go to where? I remember 2009 when we first came. And the Two days before, we visited the Golden Triangle, where Hotel Intercontinental was and the Marriott. And we're like, wow, that's cool. You know, it was the first time in Indonesia. We're like, whoa. And then 2 days later, we heard the bombing went off. The reality of, wow, like anything can happen. And then a month later, like there was an earthquake. And one of our church members said, Pastor, you know, they're very subtle about this thing. Pastor, ever since you got here, a lot of things have happened. Thank you, brother, thank you. I don't know, I think I came back with some kind of response saying, yes, Satan's scared of us, arr, you know, and trying to scare us away. I don't know, I don't think I said that, but commit to the mission to transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. That's what we're doing right now so we can get to that vision. So recommit to that vision. Secondly is remember the gospel. Don't ever forget it. Make it fresh in your heart. Always, every morning you wake up, that is by the grace of God. Every evening you're about to go to sleep, that is the grace of God. Whatever you experience, anything good happens, it's because of the gospel. Remember how sinful you are, and still you were and you are right now, but God still loves you and forgives you. You're part of this greater plan. And lastly, respond with small steps right where you are. Start with small steps. Some of you want to like, okay, then I'm going to just sell everything and go. Your wife will beat you up. Listen, some of you are like, okay, forget school. 12, 15, that's nothing. 30 countries in 2 weeks. Your parents will come and beat up Pastor Andrew, okay? And so, listen. Some of you are so idealistic. You think you could do a lot of stuff. Once again, in humility, just take a small step. That's why in our church, that's what I've been always talking about. I said, you know what? Some of you are seekers. And you need to cross this line in order for you to come to know Christ. If you're over here and you're close, take one step. Start looking and comparing religions. Why is Christianity this way? Take another step until you can get to that line and God will pull you over and you realize, now I'm saved. If some of you have a vision of doing all this stuff and you want to be used by God, but right now you cannot be faithful at work, you fall through sleep through all your classes. Can you imagine? Here you are and taking notes in class and all of a sudden you're like, and then the line goes like this, drooling all over your paper and all the stuff. And all of a sudden the people behind you, because they're serious, they're hardcore about their studies. And then you turn around and go, hey, you want to come out to church? It could transform your life. No, no wonder they don't want to come. No, if Jesus transforms your life that way, no. Small steps, a little at a time. Some of you have bigger dreams of businesses and all this other stuff. Well, if you can't be faithful with your finances even now, just start with the little things. Get certain things in proper order to be able to say, God, here I am. I'm going to take this little step. Keep on doing this. Some of you want to do ministry and do all this stuff, but you're not even faithful to the basic stuff. So commit to reading the Bible every single day. You can finish it in 2 years. Some of you might want to do different things. Well, if you're going to shepherd and love people, then look at all the people around you in your life group who needs people to listen to them and just pray over them. Do that now. Don't be like, oh, no, I'm going to do that when I become a pastor. What do you think we do? Just stand up here and talk all day? Come on. Do the small steps now. And it will help. I'm going to close with the Marabu family who serves in the jungle of Ecuador. They serve the Shuar people. The Shuar people I had no clue about. And I'm going to be honest with you. As I was watching this video, I said, no one knows who they are besides their close friends and maybe the church that's sponsoring them. But I feel like in heaven, a lot of people are going to know them. That's the thing about fame and success, which we all want so much. We think that we have to be like that superstar up there doing all this stuff. But I'm telling you right now, in God's economy, he's going to flip it around. And those of us who no one knows, but you're doing things that make an impact for Jesus Christ, when you go to heaven, you're gonna be known so well because you have brought so many people to the kingdom of God. I want you to watch this in closing. And then, in fact, I'm just going to have Pastor Andrew just come on up after the video. But listen to me carefully. He is sharing his testimony of how God led their family to this rural jungle area, which no one who's from a city would want to go to, that God called them and their family to go to the jungles of Ecuador to reach out to the small group of people groups that no one knows about, the Shuar people, to preach the gospel, to share Jesus Christ. And there's some things in there that he says that I hope the Holy Spirit will make the connections for you. In fact, in this video, there's certain key phrases that will literally sticking out in your face as he's talking. Those are his words. And I pray that at the end, we will somehow be able to realize that when we give our all, we're going to be able to obey his call. That's why you got to be first aware and then be available. And God will take you the next step. It's going to be for his glory. Let's watch this together.